Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And depressed.
Depressed? Why are you depressed?
What button did you depress?
The one that blows up the people that are involved with DC, because all of the rumors and stuff going around about, you know, the problems with Aquaman, the directors are leaving from all of their movie franchise. I mean, it's just, oh man.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it is not looking all that promising, especially since in the brief snippet we've gotten of Aquaman so far, he very clearly looked like he was holding his breath, and that's not how I'm gonna wait for that movie to come out.
Well, yeah. So of course, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this right now is aware that the first thing was the director for Flash, who was Seth Graham Smith.
Yes.
He has left the Flash. Exciting creative difference.
Very, very quickly.
Yes. He ran away quickly. Citing creative differences. So, yeah, he will not be directing The Flash, and they're now looking for a new director.
Wait. He had another impulse.
Oh. There's so many other bad puns, but they're too bad. I can't do it to you.
What's interesting that I saw a couple people posted online, someone tweeted this at us, well, what about getting Kevin Smith to direct it?
Mm.
So we'll see in a couple of weeks when his episode of Flash is on.
Right.
You know.
Eventually. And,
yep. And then you've got James Wan.
Well, here's the thing with James Wan. So I don't know if, people listening has heard this. There was a rumor that he was contemplating leaving Aquaman. And I believe it was today or yesterday. Well, as of this recording, so be like a few days ago when you guys hear this, that he posted on his Twitter a picture of him standing next to an Aquaman mural. And everyone's taking that as him saying, I'm not leaving Aquaman. I'm more committed than ever. He hasn't actually said anything. He just tweeted out the picture.
Right. No, that's not the mural. That's the actor playing the part.
Oh. In Momoa.
He's a little cardboard, a little flat.
But the thing that he said was, he was quoted as saying he was feeling a tremendous amount of trepidation about the project, and that's why he was thinking about walking away. He was feeling a lot of pressure from the the owner and company, which is Warner Brothers.
And for our younger listeners, trepidation means fear and nervousness and anxiety.
I think
and depression.
I think all the I think all the millennials know about pressure.
But we know about it from the songs.
But I think what's interesting to point out here, and creative differences, feeling trepidation, these are the buzzwords that these directors are saying right now. And
but those buzzwords were floating around for a good couple of months before Edgar Wright finally left, before it was confirmed. So you can't just take them with a grain of salt.
Right.
Nope. You have to take them at least with one salt shaker, maybe two. Maybe the little ones that you buy at, side shops.
What I'm saying is, what's interesting is about this is it does lend credence to the rumors about Warner Brothers being nervous because Batman v Superman didn't perform as well as they had hoped.
Right. Although that doesn't seem to be keeping them from doubling down on more Batman action. And from what I hear, I mean, they're not going to have any problem with that director because that one's stuck. They got Ben Affleck behind the wheel and he's not going anywhere.
No.
But apparently we will be getting the majority of his rogue gallery in his solo project.
Wait a minute, you're saying they're going to have
Everyone.
many, many, many villains in the
Yes.
next movie?
Not necessarily that he's up against, but they are going to they're continuing with the established, he's been doing this for a while. So therefore, all these villains would have already existed and be out there in the world. They're not necessarily out there actively. Some of them might be. I don't know who specifically he's going to be going up against, but
It'll be
maybe they'll have
Venom.
some scenes in Arkham Asylum or in Arkham Prison where you see various of his rogues, either implied or visually shown on screen.
Right. And there's no been, they've said yes, many of the rogues, but they haven't said who yet, which is interesting.
Right.
And it makes you go, well, are they going to see what people's reaction to Jared Leto's Joker is before they say, yes, we're definitely going with the Joker.
Right. Or maybe there's a lead-in from Suicide Squad that sets up for whatever they have planned in the Batman movie.
Right. But what's interesting is that, of course, no offense, John, please don't get upset. But I keep seeing online all the DC fanboys, talking about this movie's doing better than blah, blah, blah. And they're comparing it to movies that are 15 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. It did better than those movies, like Howard the Duck they put up. Like, who cares about Howard the Duck?
Right.
But in all seriousness, the movie had to make at least 800 million to break even. It's currently sitting at $862 million. So technically, it made a $62 million profit.
So that's how much they have to work with for the sequel, right?
Right. I mean, and of course, people
Well,
are gonna.
hey, that worked for Deadpool. I mean,
That's
they cut from that movie and it made it better.
right.
Not that
So that
that
60
should be the
million,
reason.
it's a good thing they killed a pretty high effects character in that. That's all I'm going to say there.
Well,
No
for now.
spoilers.
I mean, it's an interesting concept, right? Because the movie's budget was $250 million, and they're saying 800 million to break even, which that's showing you how much they've spent on distribution and advertising for this movie. That's, more than or almost twice the budget, on that stuff. And it just begs the question, did they really need to spend that much on advertising? What do you guys think? Like, this isn't a movie that kind of sells itself. They just could hype it on YouTube and with some viral marketing here and there.
I would be for less advertising just for the fact that it might, and I say only might, stop them from spoiling the entire freaking thing before you even get into the movie theater. It's just it would be nice to just, have not have known about, say, the big monster at the end or, whatever. Just
Well, right. And
The
even that
big
aside,
monster.
I mean there were promo posters for this movie,
It wasn't Doomsday.
in theaters over a year ago. Like they've been pushing this for so long.
Well, they put a poster of that in Will Smith's what the last man in the world thing.
I Am Legend.
Yes.
Yes, they did,
There was a
but
poster
I don't
there.
think that was not the same same round of marketing.
That was a different
Well, it took them that long
movie.
to grind through all of the different directors before they found one to stay around and do it.
I mean, it's just I kind of think like because you look at what Deadpool did, budget of $60 million. They didn't go crazy on the marketing with that.
And
A
you know
lot of
what
it
they
was.
did? What they did what they should have had done is limited the number of bullets, especially coming from the hero.
Oh, God.
Because you see interviews with Ryan Reynolds, and like he did a lot of the advertising, I mean, he didn't put his own money out, but like he didn't get paid extra to do the advertising for
Right,
this
he
movie.
waived some of his appearance fees and things like that that would normally be levied for those
Wait, I'm
efforts.
still trying to get over the idea of limiting the bullets for Batman.
I mean,
I mean, come on.
it's the joke I was laying down, but I mean, it's true. Like some of the things that they did with Deadpool in order to stick under their very tight, stringent budget was to put him in those situations where he forgot the guns or that he only had like 12 rounds in that first scene. That was and so they could had the ability to rely on things that cost less effect wise.
Right.
So, but yeah, if Batman used a lot less bullets, I think the movie would cost a lot less
I think the movie
and
would
be
do a
more
lot
true to
better.
Batman.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Instead, we're probably going to get like Batman Knight of the Catwoman or something. Batman versus all five Catwomen. Just
yes.
And again, to defend Warner Brothers a little bit, I mean, they're putting a lot of eggs in this basket, and they needed the movie to do well. So on one hand, you can justify advertising costs, but on the other, it's like, if you spent a little less, you would have a little more profit for, you know, Aquaman directors.
Yeah. Or maybe oxygen tanks for, you know, when he needs to breathe underwater.
So I want to pose this question to our audience, to everyone listening. What do you guys think? Like, do these movies at this point, because, you know, we're now good 15 years into superhero movies doing well, do they sell themselves at this point? Do the movie companies need to spend as much on advertising, or was Warner Brothers justified in spending all the money they did on advertising because people weren't going to go see it otherwise? So, you know, tweet it at us. Let us know what you think. So,
can I just, an addendum to that? They didn't really shill the hell out of Guardians of the Galaxy, and look what happened with that. You know, and so it may be that there may be two answers to that, one for Marvel and one for DC.
I think, though, it is sort of a double-edged sword, though. Like, for instance, you could also make the argument that, you know, McDonald's doesn't need to market themselves either. Like, everyone knows about McDonald's. Everyone eats their food and is aware of what their options are. No one's surprised that they still are open and exist and serve food. However,
what is this McDonald's?
Part of that awareness is because they're constantly, you know, barraging us with advertisements everywhere we go. And so it's background noise, but it's working. So it's like, if those advertisements went away, would people still go to the restaurant as much as they did? Or as much as they do. And I think that with Batman v Superman, yes, I agree that I think that they could have stood to do a lot less. Like, I don't think they needed to market it as pervasively as they did in so many platforms, in so many different ways. And definitely, I think everyone's sort of getting a little bit crazy with the trailer game, you know, and revealing way too much and blowing. And I actually heard an interesting argument to this today. That put a different spin on it that I hadn't thought of. So, for instance, so like, a lot of people were annoyed or upset when there were spoilers in the trailers for both the presence of Wonder Woman and the presence of Doomsday in that movie. However, one of the things that probably drives those decisions is the fact that amongst their marketing efforts is they're trying to put out toys, and they can't put out toys of Wonder Woman and of Doomsday if it hasn't been revealed that they're part of the movie. So sometimes those things are driven by other marketing decisions.
True, true. But there was also a time, you know, when the toys didn't come out until the movie was released. You know, they were sent to the stores, but they weren't allowed to be put on the shelf until like a couple days before the movie or the day of the movie release. You know, that's something that's kind of changed in the last few years, especially
That's probably due to market research. That's probably because they sell better that way.
But the converse of what you're saying is they advertise the hell out of Black Widow being in the Avengers movies, and they still can't find any toys of her.
That is
That's a shipping error.
It's a shipping error. Yeah.
There's design flaws that make it difficult to manufacture those.
Yes, yes. They're
top heavy.
God.
They can't get the curvature just right.
They keep breaking at the waist.
But in other news, this one kind of struck me like, okay, other DC news that Jeremy Irons has confirmed that he will be returning for Justice League as Alfred.
I'm sure that'll be a very important part.
He'll be the best one there.
He probably will. Well, I think that actually does make a good amount of sense. I mean, it is sort of of course he will be, kind of moment, because the Justice League movie is pretty much, it has to be about establishing the Justice League. It doesn't exist yet. They have to get these people together. Mm-hmm. And Alfred is an integral part of Batman's involvement in anything. So he's an accessory character, much the way that, like, even in the Avengers movies, Pepper Potts showed up, at least in the one of them. In the pulling in Iron Man and Tony Stark into things.
Right, right. But I just kind of wonder how much screen time, like, they made this announcement like, ooh, he's coming back. But again, Yes, he should be integral in some of the decisions that Bruce makes towards the Justice League, but at the same time, don't give him a lot of screen time because we need to Cyborg, Flash, Aquaman all, introduced and
What they
explained. No,
they can
he'll
introduce
totally
them
get
with
a
animated GIFs. Who needs the,
No, Alfred will be a floating head. He'll get a pop-up ad that will tell Batman to do. So what
The
you need to
sad
do is.
thing is, I'm the DC guy and I'm making these comments.
But at least we'll have a very boisterously loud Commissioner Gordon in this movie.
Yes.
Yes, played by J. Jonah Jameson.
Yep.
Yeah, I it's I found those two announcements very fascinating. I guess we haven't talked about those. Not only are you getting J. Jonah Jameson playing Commissioner Gordon, you now have William Dafoe playing someone
Yes,
in the movies, and of course,
mysterious role.
oh, is that
A mysterious role.
a mis yes, a mysterious role. They're not revealing who he is yet. Last I heard is he said he is playing a good guy, which I found strange. Because he really could play the Joker.
He could, and I was actually thinking that he probably would make a decent Joker, and it'd be interesting if they had that. So we've all had that debate of whether or not, or there was that whole rumor that swirled around about the Jared Leto's Joker, that he might actually be Jason Todd. It'd be interesting if there was some story worked out there that he wasn't the first Joker, that there was a Joker before him that created him, accidentally in some way. But I don't know if that's gonna happen or not. But I
Yeah,
was but with that, Willem Dafoe would be a good, elder statesman Joker.
elder statesman. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. We'll have to see. I kind of feel like I honestly feel like that's a rumor they floated out there to gauge fan reaction on. And if
Yeah.
people if enough people are like, yeah, that sounds like a cool idea, they'll do it.
Yeah.
If enough people are like, no, he's Red Hood and Joker's Joker, like don't intermix our continuity, then they won't do
And then they both turn out to be Clayface. Well, two different Clayfaces. I mean,
Yes.
Nah.
What good
Go
guy would he
on.
be?
And with all of this, Punisher is confirmed for a Netflix series, which will
Yes.
probably be more awesome than all of the DC movies combined. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing?
Poor John.
You're waiting for the good stuff, John.
I it just I was going through my backlog last night because I'm trying to clean up some of my comic books. I ran across the Elementals. And the Elementals was like it was from Comico. It was back in the 80s and 90s. We will find a good movie of the Elementals before we get a good movie from damn DC Warner Brothers. It's just ugh.
Well, you've heard about the Hasbro universe that they're launching, right? With
Say My Little Pony, say My Little Pony, say My Little Pony, say My Little
they want to, I think they want to tie like the Transformers and the G.I. Joe movies together and then bring in I can't think of
Pony. Mask
Mask,
and
yes.
well, Visionaries is part of that, but it's not necessarily one they're looking to turn into a property. There's a whole slate of different Hasbro properties that are part of that
Wait,
deal.
wait, wait, wait. You're saying that I could get on the big screen, a real version of Starscream versus Rainbow Dash?
It's possible.
It's possible. You're
DC still sucks.
good. Yes.
That would be more awesome than the movies.
Yes. I mean, I mean, I understand maybe wanting to go after a Mask movie. I could kind of see it working. Not really. Not in 2016.
Did you see the last one that they made? It sucked.
No, not you're thinking of. You're thinking of The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Oh, I was trying to stick with viable properties. I'm sorry.
No, Mask, as in
Mask. Yes.
the all those idiots who ran around with weird helmets that some of them actually had properties.
Right, and all their vehicles turned into another vehicle, like a car that could turn into a plane and fly and.
Yeah, I owned the car and the motorcycle that turned into a jet. I remember.
Yes,
It
I had
was
the
so
motor.
weird because,
And the kid, the stupid kid on the
oh my
robot that
God, the
turned into a
idiot with
scooter.
the robot.
I,
That
you
was
know what?
so.
I, yes, and I don't know if that was an American-made animation, I think. So I don't think that was like the Americanized version where they plastered right. over the sections of people cutting people's heads off with that stupid kid on the robot. I think that was actually part of it.
No, but it was definitely a cartoon that was like all those cartoons in the 80s. It was made just to sell the toys. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, have you ever gone back and tried to watch some of those?
Yeah, there's montages on YouTube. You can go back and remember stuff that you probably even forgotten. And here's the really wacky thing. If you go through a bunch of those, every once in a while, you're going to run across episodes. No matter what it is, you'll run across episodes that were written by Michael J. Straczynski. And they will be the most awesome episodes of the entire series.
Yeah.
It's the other property I was trying to remember is Micronauts.
Yeah. Right, Micronauts.
Which I find funny because Micronauts was a property that was had comics that were licensed to Marvel. Well, yes. I think they all did. I know G.I. Joe and Transformers had Marvel comics.
Yeah,
as well.
Definitely. A couple of them did, yeah.
And they had crossovers with G.I. Joe and Transformers. They had their comics already.
So I think you're more likely to get a decent Micronauts movie before you get a decent DC movie. That's the world we live in. Oh, sorry.
Speaking of Michael J. Straczynski, if you're out there, help us, please. just write one of those. You or Bruce Timm or some man, give it to Bruce Timm. Oh, or one of his guys. Holy crap, that would be awesome.
Well, I think you would get a Bruce Timm before you would get Straczynski.
You never know. I mean, they're burning through directors and writers pretty damn quick at this point. They'll probably work their way around to him at some point.
Yes, but I think he's more likely to do Marvel stuff, you know.
Damn it.
Especially
with... because he's more likely to not have his check bounce when he's finished.
Especially with a movie that opened this week overseas. Hasn't opened in the U.S. yet. I hate when they do this.
Well, you can never get these things fully coordinated. Yes. You're never going to get an international release, you know, all around the globe at the same time.
You're
talking about that one we have to see next week because you're going to come to our houses and find us if we don't?
Right. Yes.
Have to? You should be looking forward to this one, John.
Well, I believe in my contract the word required was thrown around a lot and, you know, under pain of, you know, death or something.
With extreme prejudice. But no, hold on. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
You're and extreme precedence.
You're not supposed to talk about it on air. Anyway. Actually,
first rule of superhero speak club.
Don't speak about superhero speak club. Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Didn't Batman v Superman open internationally all on the same day?
I think it opened in most markets. I don't remember if it opened everywhere.
Yes,
yeah, but so, I do think it opened in the European and the American markets at the same time.
Okay,
I know at least one of the recent superhero movies did not open simultaneously in China.
A lot of
that might be Deadpool.
Yeah, well, Deadpool isn't allowed to play in China because it's rated R.
That's right.
Those damn communists. Was that out loud? Anyway, but here's the interesting thing is not only did Civil War open this weekend overseas, it's made $200 million so far, which is, you know, I think, I don't know what that is compared to other movies, but it sounds pretty good.
Well, it can't be because they over-advertised it.
No, not at all.
Couldn't be the dozens of TV exclusive clips
I'm
showing half the movie
and changing our ringtones. That was pretty off the wall too.
I'm actually starting to wonder if we've seen all of Spider-Man's footage at this point.
Footage.
We
seen
went
quite from, a few clips.
We went from seeing him for a brief second in the final trailer, being like, "Oh, okay, cool. Now I know I need to go see this." To now we've seen at least two full scenes, I think.
Right. Well, so you know, here's one of the things
he saves
that I need
in this one.
I think this is something though that someone needs to talk to cinematic marketing about. Do they understand what the word "final" means in Hollywood?
No.
Because every single one of these movies supposedly gets a final trailer, and there are at least a dozen other micro trailers or movie clips or featurettes that come out after that. That show even more footage.
No, like, those are special features. Those are post teasers.
Special what feature is advertisement.
Right. Final apparently does not mean what they think it means over in Hollywood. It's a lot. It reminds me of the back before Wendy's finally renamed all their size of the things. The smallest size you could get for drinks or fries was called large, and then went to Biggie and Great Biggie. But they fixed that since the early aughts.
Well, it's like local pizza place. Some of them have small, large, and extra large. No, you have small, medium, and large. Just call it that.
Right, right.
Grande, Vente, and whatever.
Oh, God.
Trente.
No, and you're so right, though, because it used to be like they might have one or two trailers, and then all the commercials were just showing the footage that you already saw in the trailers. They didn't release extra footage in the commercials. And now
now they're having little feature clips.
Right.
That are revealing tiny little 30-second snippets of like all from all over the movie. You probably could stitch all of them together and make a semi-coherent movie.
Yeah.
And you know what the funny thing is, remember Cloverfield? Mm. You remember how little they put out about that?
Yes.
Right.
And in not just how little they put out, but they put out like websites for companies that were part of that universe and with like real press releases from those companies, and there were hints about things in and all that. If they did that, if DC had did that and hadn't mentioned Wonder Woman and Doomsday and had that before the movie, and people go in and suddenly, oh, there's Wonder Woman, I bet you, same movie, two different circumstances, people would have come out of the movie not having known beforehand. They would have come out and said, wow, that was a really good movie. That's cool. And, oh, did you see when Wonder Woman showed up? Oh, that was awesome. But no, instead, they knew beforehand. They walk in, they come out, yeah, Wonder Woman was there. Hello. And then, well, that was great. And they had gotten, they didn't have that euphoria of seeing her to mask all of the depression of having Lois Lane be there to scream for help most of the time.
Yeah, it definitely. Right. Agree that there's something to that mentality, like when you go into a movie and you've already know everything you're going to see, then the movie has to be really good to keep your interest and make you go, yeah, that was a good movie. Whereas if we didn't know about Wonder Woman and Doomsday and all the other stuff they revealed beforehand, it would have been like you would have been along for the ride and I've been like, oh my God, there's Wonder Woman, you know, in her full costume. Oh, look, there's this monster now trying to kill everyone.
Yeah, like, you'd be too busy geeking out to say, why did Superman have to grab the thing and go to stab him right next to him? He could have just thrown it at the guy. Or a thousand different ways he could have done that.
Or why didn't he give it to Wonder Woman, who isn't affected by kryptonite?
Right. That would have made too much sense. But yeah, and you mentioned Cloverfield, which was under-marketed, and it made $170 million worldwide. On a budget of $25 million to produce it.
Yep. Now imagine if they put Batman on that.
And it was number one in its opening weekend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they drove up the hype, but they didn't give the whole thing away. You had questions walking into that movie, and it should be the same with these. I mean, look at Civil War. I mean, we've gotten a bunch of trailers, and yeah, okay, they spoiled the, hey, there's Spider-Man thing. But you still don't know much about what's actually going to happen in the movie. I mean, even if you've read the comic books, you know that there are going to be differences, and you're going to walk into that movie with questions. With the DC ones, you don't have any questions. They've spoiled everything already. They're giving everything away. They're running damn teaser trailers inside the movies themselves. It's like, you know?
Well, I think there's a reason for all of this, the lack of dread about spoiling things. There apparently was a study about, you know, a couple of years ago, back in 2011, that got released, that basically said that spoilers actually increase enjoyment of things. That in most cases, when people knew how things were going to turn out, their measured enjoyment level was higher for those things. So I think that Hollywood took that message to heart and said, oh, well, we can spoil the shit out of everything. It doesn't matter. You know, we don't have to try to keep things so close to the vest. But I think that
was box office part of that study?
I don't know. But I don't know who was part of that study, but I don't think it was very accurate to reality. Like, I think it It betrayed something. I don't doubt that the results were what the results were, but there is something to the fact that, like, you can't unring a bell. Like, you can only hear that bell once. And if you give away too much too fast, then you're gonna brush people off of wanting to see things. So.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with that, because it's like when they talk about like when you hear criticisms about the new Star Wars movie, you know, like, yes, it was good and it was nostalgic and it was well done, but there are people that went to see this movie who watched the originals in the theater and loved the originals and went, you know, all say the same thing, like, I didn't quite have the same feeling. Right, because you've seen the universe already. You've seen all this before, so it's nothing new. And I think there's something when you're spoiled too much. Like, yeah, I went in and saw the movie and it was good, but like I wasn't surprised by anything. There was nothing new that made me feel great, you know? And well, that's the problem with Hollywood. They hear one little thing and they go too far with it the other way.
Now, I will say everything I've seen so far of Spider-Man and the various other characters, I like it all. But I'm also being much more careful about watching it because I don't want to spoil too much.
But that's the thing you won't have to worry about because it's Marvel and they're not going to spoil it too much and it'll be just great.
Just 4 more days. Just 4 more days. We'll make it.
Okay, so what else do we have going on here besides those things? Because
Well, there was one thing I wanted to bring up on the Marvel side of things that wasn't previously mentioned. So there has been a little bit of what do you call it, hoopla about the fact that Marvel is guilty of some whitewashing in some of its upcoming things, including Doctor Strange, specifically with the Ancient One being not Asian or male, as he is typically depicted in the comics.
It's Tilda Swinton, so you're not really sure about the gender on all these.
Oh.
Right.
No offense, Tilda.
No, I have all the respect in the world for Tilda Swinton. She's a great actress.
Well, yeah, she played Gabriel on Constantine.
Right, and she was probably the best part of that movie,
Yeah,
in spite of that movie.
probably.
But their latest explanation as to why is that she is clearly not Asian, but rather Celtic, and that the supposed moniker of Ancient One is a title, not a specific character. It's a title that gets passed from one Ancient One to the next. So potentially there is an older Ancient One that she once studied with, who was the original Asian version, but she's not that. She's his successor.
Okay,
But
they're really
it
pushing
seems
that.
like I it is. It seems like an excuse. And honestly, my guess is the real reason they went that way is two reasons. One, to have more name power. And behind such a role. And two, the Ancient One probably smells a bit Tibetan in the way that in his behavior and his actions. And I think this plays into the whole Chinese market, which is huge now, is they have to be very careful about those types of representations. So if they were to go with someone that could be like as it is, they probably have to be very careful about even making any references to Tibet as an entity in order to be able to be shown in the Chinese market.
So now the only place they can't show it is in the Protestant sections of Ireland, is what you're saying.
I think they have they're more forgiving type.
I don't understand why they, you know, this Shyamalaning of their
Shyamalaning.
well,
Shyamalaning.
We he did pioneer that with well, he didn't pioneer it, but geez, you know, look at Avatar, and that's the worst case scenario. And I don't mean I not Avatar, not the blue people. I'm talking about The Last Airbender, but seriously, it just
Well, it is funny that they did that there too, and it probably was for similar reasons. That TV show, the cartoon, everyone was fairly clearly Asian, in some form. And when they made the when Shyamalan'd it, there were some like Chinese Asian people in it. There was mostly a lot of Indian Asian people on the bad guy side, and the main characters were all white, and that was sort of out of left field, and it didn't really fit. And I think probably it was another one of those things where if they had made them Asian, but stuck with the very, like, especially with the Airbender himself, stuck with that very Zen, Buddhist type mentality, he would have been chalked up as Tibetan, and he wouldn't have had any Chinese market for the movie.
Well, there wasn't much market for the movie altogether, so I'm not really
Well,
sure what the
yes.
problem is.
Right, it's moving deck chairs on the Titanic at that point.
Yeah, no, and I agree, and I'm sure that all the movie companies look at this stuff when they're casting and putting the movies together on one hand, but you have to, the first thing you have to say is, I think if you just make a quality movie, people are going to come see it. And most movies make the majority of their money in the US anyway. American movies make the majority of their movie in the United States. So, okay, I know China's a big market, but how much money are you really losing if it doesn't do well in China, you
Actually, a
know? Yeah.
lot. That's the
But
problem.
this is a lot. With China, you're talking about 1 billion people. And granted, they're not paying the same dollars for tickets that we are. The numbers alone make a difference. The Chinese market is an important market. But that aside, the whitewashing problem is a bigger problem happening in Hollywood right now. Like there's, a couple movies recently that have flopped because of that and because people are being cognizant of it. Like the whole Christian Bale Moses story that came out last year. The Gods of Egypt movie that just came out recently, they whitewash the hell out of those characters, and there's a big uproar right now, or at least a small uproar right now about Scarlett Johansson's portrayal of the main character in Ghost in the Shell. You know that
Yeah.
she's
Yes.
should
Hope.
be Japanese, and
But here's the thing.
what's funny with that is there's a lot of people who are arguing about it here, but people in Japan actually are okay with it,
Well, that's because
which
it's Scarlett Johansson, and
it is. Well,
it's
they've
like,
justified it's like, well, they probably wanted to reach a wider market, so they and it's an Android character anyway, so they made it, white American, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, but you know that the tickets in China are cheaper because the tickets were made in China, right?
Oh my God, did you really just go there?
Well, they outsource themselves, and so the tickets are cheaper. Never mind, go ahead.
Okay, help me out with this for a second. The guy who directed Michael Jackson's Thriller video,
I know him well.
was that Zemeckis?
I have no idea. I don't know who
Wait,
did Thriller.
Zemeckis did the Thriller video?
Yes. I
Okay.
think so.
I'm a DC guy, so if it's
See,
music, I
no,
don't
I
know.
need to Don Landis.
Unless it's
Don
Linkin
Landis.
Park.
Oh, okay, Landis. So it was his son, who's a producer in Hollywood today, came out with a video on YouTube. I'm gonna find more information about this and put a link in the description of the episode, because I think this is something people need to see. And he talks about the perceived whitewashing of Hollywood. And he specifically talks about Scarlett Johansson playing the lead in Ghost in the Shell. And basically, how he explains this is that the market has changed. The Hollywood has changed in the last, they said, at least like the last decade or so. And the fact that you don't have a lot of big names anymore in Hollywood. There aren't a lot of actors who you can attach them to a movie and the movie would sell.
Right.
He's like,
Right.
he
It's
said there's
definitely a
like,
different market,
he's like, there's
even from the
two
80s.
women. He's like, right now there's like, two African American men, two women, and five white guys. That if you attach their name to a movie, people will go see that movie. I think
Right, just because it's got that person in it.
it's like
And
Clooney, Cruz, Denzel.
both Idris Elba's.
No, Idris Elba is not one of them. It's Denzel Washington and the other one.
Denzel
So
Washington.
yeah, he's
No,
still.
people do go to his movies because he's in them. He
Yes.
does have that draw.
So the issue is that people want Ghost in the Shell to be made, but the movie company is like, well, this isn't a well-known property. It's not like Ghostbusters that made money back in the 80s. It's not like they're taking
Right, it
a
has.
Knight Rider and making it into a movie, even though that'd be a terrible idea.
Well, then why did you mention it?
I'm saying they're not
Coming soon
taking
to
it.
theater near you.
They're not taking a really well-known entity, so they have to attach a name to it that's going to sell. So the problem is that people are flocking to these movies. People aren't going to as much variety of movies as they used to. Whereas if people were going to a lot of movies that were starring a Asian person, then they could cast that Asian female as the lead role, but nobody's going to those movies. So it's a catch 22 is basically how he explains it. Like,
yeah, but I think that it's a conservatism effort on their side. Like, they're being ultra conservative and attaching to these, they're adhering to these things that they feel have clear marketable value, in lieu of taking risks. And I understand that. But sometimes risks sell. Sometimes risks are worth the effort and worth the, you know, taking.
With these, yeah, Chris,
you're never going to change the script. You're never going to change the script if you don't take risks. You know, it's, yes, there's this short list of people that sell movies, but that doesn't mean that's the short list of people that can be in movies. Like, there are plenty of great actors and actresses out there of all, you know, shapes, sizes, colors, and varieties that, you know, can work in movies and can be that next big person if they're allowed to be, if the risks are taken.
Well,
and
here's what I'm going to say. I think the flip side of this is, in all honesty, is like Ghost in the Shell, you have to cast Scarlett Johansson. Though Doctor Strange, Marvel's a proven entity right now. If you put an Asian person in that role,
they'll still go see it.
They'll still go see it, and then you're adding more cachet to that Asian actor.
Right, right. In this case, they're catering to a specific audience predilection that they know is going to make a difference. That they, I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. That they made that choice. While it's causing consternation here, it's not necessarily going to keep people even here from going to see it. Whereas if they did cast someone of Asian descent in that role, it could black out a billion person market. Right. And that's not a small thing.
But whether or not we argue about it on this side of the pond or the other, it still looks pretty stupid in some cases.
It does. But here's the thing that I find especially...
You mean like when you cast Sean Connery as a Spaniard? In Highlander? All right, so go ahead. What were
we gonna say? That was a bad idea, too.
That man's but, chest hair could have played the part.
Right, to be fair, in that time frame, like, that was made initially as an independent movie. He barely got anybody to play those parts in the first place. I think he only got Sean Connery as a favor because he was available. But anyway, what I was going to say is, so I think that even with this whole Scarlett Johansson thing, I think that we need to start thinking, or Hollywood needs to start thinking broader, but I get it, and I'm okay with it if they can explain it and have it make sense. What could potentially be more problematic is I have heard some rumor that part of making this movie is they've found or perfected some technology that could potentially make like post-production technology that could make white actors look Asian. And so if they were to go and pull that on Scarlett Johansson as a post-production thing, that would be a bad move.
That would be a really bad move. That would be equivalent of her doing it in blackface.
Oh my God, it's going to be Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins all over again. Have either of you seen that movie?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw it a long time ago when it came out. So.
Yeah, and you saw Joel Grey play Chung?
I assume he had a Fu Manchu mustache and a pair of glasses on to make his eyes look squinty.
Not the mustache, but they did a lot of work on him to make him look Oriental.
Yeah, there were a lot of those types of cases in older movies. Like, I remember, there was Breakfast at Tiffany's had one of those examples. I think it was Mickey Rooney playing an Asian.
He won an Oscar for it, didn't he?
He definitely got nominated for it and got praise for it at the time. And yet, in hindsight, it is just cringeworthy.
It is the most racist thing. Well, not racist. It's derogatory at the very least. Definitely cringy.
I think, you know, in my opinion, bottom line it, and I'm saying this to our audience who's listening, that, you know, Hollywood's not going to change. You know, they're a very easily scared bunch. But you can change things with your dollars. So if you start going to other movies besides superhero, I know, God forbid, besides the superhero movies and besides the ones where Chris Hemsworth has his shirt off and besides the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise, other actors might start getting better roles.
Can there be a superhero movie that's also a Mission Impossible movie where Chris Hemsworth has his shirt off?
I knew that was coming.
And Chris Pine too. Don't forget him.
So just think about it, people. I think we can change the world by using our dollars.
Mission Impossible 6, Asgardian Protocol.
No.
So, okay.
Speaking of
Justice League Dark.
Here's one other piece of news that I had slated for today that we didn't get to. What?
No Justice League Dark?
Justice League Dark. What are you talking about? Just real quick, the Fox thing.
Right. No, so no Justice Fox. League
Dark. I think it's another movie that they're talking about.
That's been batted around for a while. I don't know if that's actually going. I haven't heard any new action on it that it might, you know, up or down on it. It's been in rumor for years though.
I know they're evaluating three directors. They've looked at Colin Farrell being in it, and
well, they definitely seem to need directors. So if they're evaluating directors, it doesn't necessarily mean for that.
Well, they're just cycling because they
apparently need backups.
And they're cycling through the ones that are going off the Flash. And
John, just be happy that The Killing Joke is coming out soon.
I saw the trailer for that. I think the trailer sucked. I know it's going to be good, but the trailer wasn't that great. The trailer made it. The trailer was kind of like a fanfic almost.
Well,
the trailer seemed to just key in on the iconic scenes, just so they could show, hey, here's the iconic scenes. We got them right, without really giving you enough information about the story.
But not even that. It just didn't feel. It didn't feel professional. It felt like almost every other trailer that you've seen where for a middling movie with the cackling bad guy and the brooding good guy, and that was it. It didn't feel like a trailer for The Killing Joke, Batman and Joker.
I kind of felt like they didn't give enough time to both Joker and Batman in the trailer. There should have been more Joker in the trailer. It is The Killing Joke, after all. It is a pivotal story between Batman and Joker, and I think they had two of his lines in it, you know. So
yeah, but again, it didn't feel like the guy who made it was like, you know, technically speaking, there weren't many, the fade-ins weren't in the right place. There was no, it didn't give you a sense of movement and direction. It just,
you mean the guy who made the trailer, not the guy who made the movie?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the movie's going to be awesome. It's just that I was really surprised that the trailer didn't like make me really feel anything except, yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, I've seen it. Okay, next will be up the cackling bad guy. Oh, there he is. Okay, yeah. You know, and then next the hero brooding. Oh, there he is. He's and brooding. Oh, in a dark alley too. Very perfect. Yeah. It just seemed like it was like color by numbers rather than, you know, it didn't build. It didn't make me feel anything.
Yeah. So since we went off on this tangent, I'm going to ask both of you real quick. I don't know if you guys remember, not too long ago, it was like, I think one of the anniversary of The Killing Joke came up, and they were talking to the artist whose name escapes me at the moment. I know everyone's yelling at their computer right now.
R.D. McArdison.
Artie McArdison. I think you just named the episode, by the way. So Artie, they were talking to Artie, and he basically had the reveal that no one noticed all these years in The Killing Joke is the ending of the book. Of course, everyone knows in the book who's read it. Spoilers if you haven't. Batman finally catches up to the Joker. The Joker tells him a joke, and then they start laughing, and the camera pulls out, and it's raining. It mirrors the beginning of the book where it's raining, and they're laughing, and then they draw a crack on there, and the laughing stops, which was supposed to be
Superman showing up.
Batman. Well, one of them killed the other because they don't show you. They kind of say that Batman killed the Joker, but you could also take it that Joker killed the Batman. Do you think they're going to do that in the animated movie?
No, in the animated movie, it will end with the crack of a gun.
In Batman's hand?
Probably.
And it was illustrated by Brian Boland.
No, it was Artie McArdison.
Okay.
Now, in all seriousness, If they and they will do it right. For some reason, DC Animated is like actually ahead of Marvel somehow. But they'll end it probably with the exact same thing with the, leaving it open for questioning.
Although I think, and on the point that you just made, John, with the animation stuff, I think it's really just because for some reason DC's given it a budget, and Marvel's attempt in the animated area has really only been fairly recent in paralleling the movie stuff with cartoons on the Disney Channel. So, like, they've always had a very tenuous effort in the cartoon area. They haven't made cartoon movies in a long time that I know of, and
Yeah,
they
but
haven't
the
generally been good.
well, they did partner with Lego, but anything that touches Legos apparently these days are, is gold. But I don't think it's just a budget. I think it's I think it's that at least the animated side of things is still in the hands of people that care, that actually read comics, like the Marvel movie universe is. So, and they don't get a whole lot of, basically they're told, just tie into what we're doing with the New 52. And they, and the animated side goes ahead and ties it in, but then makes it awesome. It, it's just, I don't know. They've done a very good job so far.
Let's
Agreed.
see. 2014, they had Avengers Confidential, Black Widow and Punisher,
That
and
was actually pretty good.
Iron Man and Captain America: Heroes United.
That was not so good.
I kind
The
of
worst,
think
sorry.
with the Marvel Animation, they're kind of split because they have quite a few shows on TV right now too that they're also doing. And I mean, DC's got Tiny Toons, Teen Titans
Teen
Go.
Titans Go. Same difference.
So like they don't.
Rather see Tiny Titans.
Tiny Titans.
I mean, they don't have any other animated shows right now, so they can put a lot of more effort into these movies, and they're like doing this thing now where like they're all connected, with the Flashpoint and then Son of Batman, then there was the Bat Family one, and now there was a Teen Titan Justice League versus Teen Titans, and now
Which was really good.
I honestly think they're gonna somehow connect Killing Joke to it all.
That'd be interesting.
Yes,
I
so
hope they don't.
I
That I
think it.
mean, some of the best stuff, like the Killing Joke, stood on its own. It did not have to be tied into a franchise.
Oh, I
I mean,
think
okay,
yeah.
well,
Well, you
it.
have to edit the story in order to, because here's, and I agree with you on, because if we just talk about the ending just now, so that ending, left a made an impact. First of all, it left a cliffhanger that if you were to continue, you'd have to answer, and it would leave people's hands tied for future properties. Either the Batman's not involved or Joker's not involved because one of them is dead. And secondly, you could not do something that involved Batgirl, because isn't that the one where she becomes
Paralyzed, yep.
paralyzed? So you couldn't have Batgirl, you'd have to have her as Oracle. So basically, yeah, you could, but it ties the hands of, in a lot of ways with a lot of characters as to what they could do next.
Right.
Well, they could tie it in by just having it end with Batman swooping out, surviving, and saying, well, now I shall go into hiding because I'm the hero that they need, not that they want, or something.
Nobody deserves that, John.
No,
Nobody deserves.
not at all. So as I was starting to say it earlier,
You want to go to Comic-Con?
that I do want to go to Comic-Con this year, just because no one's presenting anymore apparently. Marvel stopped presenting last year, and Fox has announced that they will not be presenting anything in Hall H this year either.
But what are they going to be doing instead? Because here's the thing,
Whining and crying.
Marvel stopped Marvel stopped presenting because they could present somewhere else. Like they have, being as part of Disney, they can present as part of D23 now, which is Disney's, big convention event.
Yeah,
But
because you wouldn't want a bunch of actual people that love comics to see what they're presenting.
well, I honestly, I'm okay with that because it's San Diego Comic-Con has become such an event that's not really that much about the comics anymore. And if they're like, I'm okay with them pulling out of that and making room for other players and making room for Comic-Con to revert back to what it's supposed to be, to the types of things that are supposed to be there, and present rather at something that is an event around cinematic events and things like that. You know, Disney stuff, it's all about mixed media. So why not go there and embrace the family you have and show things there? But that
Right.
doesn't really explain what Fox is going to do because they don't have any other outlet that I
Well,
know of.
the article I had, basically they were citing that the issue was there. It's hard to control what happens in Hall H, and they were tired of footage being leaked from the
Yeah.
panels. And it's like, then
That's
don't
always
show.
hurt them.
Right. That's what's hurting them. Like, then don't show footage in Hall H that you don't want to get out there. It's that
Yeah,
simple.
but that's how the Deadpool footage got out there, and that helped the movie get made.
Let's face it. Any leaked footage from one of these panels is not going to be, for the most part, it won't be a bad thing. Unless what Fox is worried about is that their movies are sucking so hard that, you know, if you leak the footage beforehand and people see how bad they suck, they're not going to actually go and see the movie. And if that's their problem, then their problem isn't that the footage is getting leaked, it's that they're sucking at making movies.
Right. The solution to that is stop sucking at making movies.
I
Either
second
get
that.
better or give it to someone else.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the article mentions the movies they have coming out, which are, of course, Wolverine 3, Deadpool 2, New Mutants, but then, of course, War for the Planet of the Apes, Assassin's Creed, and Alien Covenant. So,
Right.
they
A lot of
have
speaking of dead horses.
a. Well, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because that's the whole thing, like with movie studios anymore, is they want to have a series of films that they want to be successful, that they can keep releasing them and make money, right? So, Marvel, obviously, Disney is printing money. Warner Brothers, like I read an interesting article where they were talking about this, like Warner Brothers lost Harry Potter because there were no more Harry Potter movies to make. So that's kind of like that's why they put a lot of eggs into the DC basket, because it's like, well, look at what Marvel's
Well, what are we
doing.
going to do with all this money now?
The
We should pay for
62 million.
something. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, I think that's why Fox is like, oh, let's keep Aliens going and the Planet of the Apes movies, because remakes, everyone loves them.
You mean reboots? Yeah, because
Yeah.
they keep rebooting it every time
Yeah,
they screw
remakes are
up.
passé. Reboots are in now.
Speaking of Fantastic Fourth time's a charm, right?
So that is a good question. Where are there are is there anywhere they can present? I mean, there are cons that are movie centric. Are they just going to go to those? I don't know.
Yeah,
Where
I don't know.
can
Maybe
they?
they'll start their own. Yes.
The Foxconn. Nothing but Fantastic Four clips all the time.
Yeah, they won't have to worry about leaked footage there.
No, not at all.
Not at
So,
all. Just
yeah.
giant purple villains.
I'm just curious. I really am. The more I think about this, it's like, what are they going to do?
Well.
I mean, I agree the concept that's like, yes, the conventions have become more media events than comic book conventions. So on one hand, it's like, yeah, you kind of want to see them presenting less crap that you don't care about. But
Sure.
on the other hand, you kind of want them to get people more excited for these movies, because if they all stop doing it, is it going to start dying out? Probably
Right,
not.
but there's another catch 22 here. It's like part of the draw for people, like the reason that San Diego Comic-Con does get such huge crowds is because, you know, they're paying premium for these tickets and these shows because they want to see that exclusive content that nobody else is seeing. And you know, these big studios are taking that away. And but ironically, at the same time, the rest of us who can't afford to travel across the country to go to these cons want that leaked footage because we're excited about these properties. And so far, I can't think of an example of leaked footage that's made me hesitant about seeing a movie. Like real footage has sometimes made me feel hesitant. But like leaked trailers aren't necessarily like the first versions are usually better than the future ones, the final cuts that they come out with later.
Yeah,
So
let me put it this way. even the last Airbender trailer looked pretty damn good.
Right.
So, you know?
And I mean, I read just like last week or the week before, there was a con where they actually showed some stuff to the people there related to the Lego Batman movie that's being made, and it made it sound more awesome. It, like, there wasn't any visuals, but it was description of what they showed, which was a scene where they introduced where Batman showed the Batcave to Dick Grayson finally, and Dick Grayson being voiced by Michael Cera, which I think is perfect, and basically showing him all the different costumes he has in his Batcave, and he instantly found one that he liked, which was Batman's Reggae Man costume, which was basically a Robin costume, and so he decides to put on this Reggae Man costume, but the pants are too tight and don't fit, so he just decides to go without them, and hence there's the Robin costume.
Oh, I can't wait for them. There is something from DC that I'm looking forward
to. Yeah,
right. That is exactly what you deserve.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, we're kind of running out of time here, guys. So we were going to do one thing, but I don't think we have time for that. So what I want to do instead, I want to share some things with the audience. That we've done this before in the past, that we get reviews on iTunes, right? And I haven't done this in a while, so I kind of want to share some of the latest reviews that we've gotten.
Oh, dear goddess. Why? The reason we haven't done this before, you've forgotten, haven't you? No.
Okay. So this the first review here is titled Superheroes Speak Loudly. It's 5 stars, and they say, love this podcast. And these guys, definitely a great starter podcast for a new listener and an awesome podcast for veteran listeners. Check them out. And that was from a guest who's been on the show twice, James Schumacher.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean you have to adjust the volume?
Preemptive better? Apology for pronunciation.
This next one is an entertaining and educational podcast.
Educational.
David, Ben.
Are you sure they're listening to the right one?
David, Ben, and John work well together as they discuss the world of superheroes. And that's from John P. Smith Jr.
He does it so not well.
I will say that was posted on April 1st, so I'm a little hesitant about it. worthwhile for any true nerd. Intelligent, in-depth discussions about very relative topics.
Okay, that's definitely not
in the nerd world.
All right, so
not just talking.
How many of these?
Not
are
just
Dave?
Talking pop. None of them. Not just talking pop culture, but actually knowing their stuff and the references in which our media today is trying to build from. And that's from Blah Blue.
Blah Blue.
Blah Blue, with a bunch of O's after his name. Or her name, sorry. Sorry if I got it wrong, Blah Blue.
Well, you're not very good at pronouncing anybody else's name, so it's kind of a badge of honor.
Let's see. Great podcast. While this genre is somewhat crowded, these guys really do stand out. Great flow, amazing guests, interviews, and they have a new fan. And that's from the pod listener.
Well, I told you it was hot in this room. So that's why I put the fan in the window.
We have pod people that listen.
Yes, we have pod people. And last but not least, great show. These guys are really great. They do their research and have pretty awesome guests on. They've made it into my regular rotation. And that's from BG Branson.
I'm glad someone thinks that I do research.
Oh, he is from the TNB podcast. Uh-huh. So we'll have to go check them out.
See, that's how information on these podcasts work. We get it from Cinema Blend, and then those other podcasts get it from us.
It's a giant circle of life.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners who take the time to go in and give us a review on iTunes. The more reviews we get, the more ratings we get, the better our visibility is on the iTunes front page, which helps increase our listenership. So, you know, in a way, you're helping us. So please, if you enjoy the show and you haven't done so yet, and you listen to us through iTunes, jump on over and Give us a review today.
You realize good
And if you
reviews.
have,
Go ahead.
I was to say, if you have a really difficult to pronounce username, we definitely encourage you to respond and comment. And if you don't, please use big, hard to pronounce words in your response, just for
And
my
I'll make
enjoyment.
Ben read those.
Yeah. You realize that good reviews to us is like feeding a mogwai after midnight, right?
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Speaking of which, are you about to turn into a pumpkin?
That's turned into something.
All right, do you guys, anyone have anything else to add for this week?
I can't think of anything
No,
other
not
than
me. Can't
I'm
wait for
hungry
this weekend.
and I'm glad that there's no Supergirl.
No, because you're waiting for Power Girl, right? Is that it?
That's who's in the other pod, isn't it?
So don't forget to tune in next week when we have our full review of Captain America: Civil War, the most anticipated movie of 2016. Oh, wait, sorry. No.
Well, that'd be Squirrel Girl, but that's just
That's not
me.
2016. That's 2017. We've already
Not
just,
in
oh,
my head, it isn't.
we weren't supposed to tell people that. So until next week, boys and girls, don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.